bubble.
It's Economic Anxiety with Rod Oram.
So we've covered why there was a global financial crisis and what happened afterward. Now we're going to look into New Zealand and how that all affects us on this side of the world. First, though, we touch on Australia and the Royal Commission into misconduct in the banking, superannuation and financial services industry. Just a note, this interview was conducted just before the station closed for Christmas, and the report on the commission hadn't been released yet. Since then, it has been released, and it's super not good, as Rod and I predict. My next question, I guess, coming a bit closer to home, we'll start with Australia. What does the Royal Commission into Banks in Australia have to do with us, if at all? You've sort of talked about the way that our banks run a bit differently. But surely this commission has shown that banks aren't operating in a great way, and this may not be happening everywhere, but it shows that the banking system itself allows for that, right? There is room for bad play. Is that true?
Absolutely. But when that report, that final report comes out, it will reveal, as we've been hearing all the way through the Royal Commission's inquiry, some very undesirable practices, and we'll be making some, I'm sure, some very stiff major requirements on banks to change their practices. The interesting response here in New Zealand initially was, our banks, they might be owned by the Australian, our major banks, but they behave far more sensibly, everything's fine. Well, Adrian Orr said that as one of the first things he said as the newly installed governor of the Reserve Bank of New Zealand, and he quickly backtracked on that. Crucially, the Financial Markets Authority initiated a process where it put some very detailed questions to not just banks, but across the whole financial sector on their behavior, how they were responding to complaints. It was a long list. But very interestingly, recently, the chief executive of the Financial Markets Authority delivered a very surprising speech in which he was very critical of many aspects of what goes on in New Zealand, particularly cross-selling. So this would be, for example, if you have your checking account, your bank accounts with a particular bank, and then you go back to them for a mortgage, that's fine. And then when you go in for the mortgage, they try to sell you on life insurance to help protect that mortgage. Well, yeah, there may be a case for that. But then they try and sell you on a KiwiSaver. Well, possibly you could take a KiwiSaver somewhere else. Or if you already got some shares, sell you on some, you know, investment advisory services. So that cross-selling, selling a whole range of products to a single customer, seems efficient from the customer's point of view. You know, it's all in one organization, so that seems a bit simpler. But that can cut off the range and quality of advice you're getting, because you're only getting a narrow advice from one organization across all those fields. There might be some rather perverse internal incentives within the bank, which is pushing sales in certain directions, which is not necessarily to the benefit of customers. So the FMA has flagged up these issues and said in this remarkable speech recently some quite stern things. So I hope here in New Zealand we're going to go through a process where we find that things are not as bad as they were in the States, but they still need improvement, but the FMA can do that through its powers rather than us needing to go through a whole inquiry process.
How are we going to regulate that? Is the inquiry going to shift into something more concrete, and will that be a sort of international thing? Because this is it's about the financial system itself, isn't it?
Yes, it is. But I think I would draw a distinction here. Whilst it's very important to regulate how banks behave towards their customers, which is essentially what this is about, there is another very big piece of financial regulation, which is about the safety, security, ongoing resilience and sustainability of those financial institutions in terms of making sure their profile of risk doesn't get too extreme, or making sure they have enough capital to do what they're supposed to do, make sure they're not money laundering or doing other desirable things. So whilst those come together in terms of how a bank is regulated overall, in a very real way, those are two quite separate things. And there is a variation between countries as to how they do those things. So, for example, on the core bank regulation, Australia has long run a prudential regulatory process whereby there's a whole bunch of regulators who pore over the books of the banks. But that's a very historic view because you're looking at the record of past transactions. You know, they're trying to make sure they've done everything as according to the regulations might be. We've had quite a different approach in New Zealand now for over 30 years, whereby quite a bit of that goes on, and with more focus now than used to be during the 80s and early 90s. But I think there's more regulation or there's more oversight in real time with the banks rather than looking back historically, which I think is good. So each different countries has different ways of doing things. I think the way we do it is good and is working well. I'm happy with that system overall. But it always constantly needs to be assessed for whether it's keeping up with innovation and changes in the banks, changes in culture, changes in, you know, the nature of the economy. So you have to constantly work on that. But again, on the retail side of that equation, again, the Australians are far more prescriptive than we are as to how those financial institutions behave with their retail customers. Over here, the FMA is also quite prescriptive, but not in quite as heavy-handed a way as they are in Australia, and will about to become more so, I think, because of the Royal Commission. And again, the FMA, which is a relatively new organization, it's a relatively new regulatory framework, now going back about 7 or 8 years, I might be wrong on that timing, but only now is it really coming into a sort of a full fruition of its new role. And I think it's doing a good job. But again, it too needs to, you know, keep learning, keep assessing whether its approach and the regulations behind them are doing all that's necessary.
So what Rod is saying is, yes, there are dodgy things going on, and the banking system does allow for that to an extent, which will likely change with regulation following the release of the report. But what is also really important is that we continue to be on top of the way the banking system works in order for us to actually push for change when it is needed. A quick note too on what the Commission's report actually found, which basically said banks in Australia should face criminal charges for some of their actions. The sweeping recommendations made include calls for a radical overhaul of Australia's superannuation and home loan sectors. A number of banks and insurance companies have also been referred to financial regulators overseeing the sector for civil and criminal breaches relating to their conduct in those markets. Pretty full on. Tune in next time, because we've finally reached the point of discussing our own economy and politics here in Aotearoa.
Crisis? What crisis?
That was Economic Anxiety with Rod Oram.